The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and or print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from an email and several websites, and I hope you enjoy it. First up, from the American Foundation for the Blind, Countdown to Possibilities, Accessibility Behind the Scenes. Accessibility is often discussed in terms of access to information, but for AFB's award-winning documentary Possibilities, it was also an essential part of the creative process. In a new video, score mixing engineer Slaw Hallatyn, that's spelled S-L-A-U-H-A-L-A-T-Y-N, shares how accessible technology allows him to work independently in professional recording studios. Using Pro Tools and VoiceOver, Slaw mixed the music for Possibilities, helping shape how audiences experience the film. His story reflects a larger theme at the heart of the documentary, independence. Presented by the American Foundation for the Blind, Possibilities explores Helen Keller's legacy through the experiences of people who are blind or have low vision today. Possibilities is also the first feature-length documentary released with integrated open audio description for all audiences. Accessibility was considered throughout the creative process, helping shape how the film was produced and experienced by audiences. On June 27th, Possibilities made its New York premiere at Carnegie Hall, presented by the American Foundation for the Blind, followed by a live panel discussion with director Bill Sarine, S-A-R-I-N-E, and participants from the film. Tickets were sold online and in person at the Carnegie Hall box office on 57th Street and 7th Avenue. It was a good show from what I hear. From ACB.org, updated on July 13th, Shape the Future of Accessible Streaming. Take the American Council of the Blind Audio Description Project, ADP, survey. We need your voice. The Audio Description Project, ADP, is launching a comprehensive survey to capture the real-world experiences of blind and low vision, BLV, and sighted consumers using popular streaming services. Fill out the survey at https://www.surveymonkey.com/r/NNPR5C. Why this survey matters. While streaming entertainment has expanded massively, navigating the platforms themselves is inconsistent and often remains a challenge. This survey is designed to gather data and to help streaming service providers understand exactly where blind and low vision users face barriers within the specific service user platform interface. With the data collected, we will be able to provide detailed platform-specific feedback to individual streaming services regarding usability and accessibility issues. Develop industry best practices. Positively influence the consumer experience and make these platforms easier and more intuitive for everyone. What to expect? The survey begins with basic demographic information, followed by identifying questions on which streaming services you use, and then specific questions on your overall user experience with each of those services. Who should take the survey? Anyone who watches audio-described content on a streaming service. You do not have to be blind or low vision to take this survey. How long will it take? If you only use a few streaming platforms, the survey will be relatively short. If you use a wide variety of services, it may take a bit longer. Our request. We strongly encourage you to provide data for every service you actively use. Having a robust pool of data for each individual platform gives us the data needed to support meaningful changes. We know surveys can feel tedious and take time out of your day, but your input directly benefits the collective BLV community. We deeply appreciate your participation and do not take your time or effort for granted. Questions or issues? If you run into any technical difficulties or have questions about the survey, please feel free to reach out directly to Renee Arrington Johnson, that's ArringtonJohnson, at renee@acbohio.org. Don't delay. The survey closes Monday, August 31st, 2026. Select this link to take the survey. https://www.surveymonkey.com/r/capital G3NPR5C. Thank you for helping the ACB Audio Description Project advocate for more accessible streaming experiences. From ACB.org, posted July 10th, all election assistance commissioners fired or resigned. President Trump removed two Democratic commissioners from the Election Assistance Commission, EAC. At the same time, one of the Republican commissioners resigned from the EAC. The fourth member of the commission, a Republican, had already resigned earlier this year. The result of these changes means that there are currently no commissioners on the Election Assistance Commission. The EAC was established by the Help America Vote Act, HAVA, in 2002. This bipartisan, independent commission is charged with adopting voting system guidelines, providing information regarding election administration, certifying voting systems, and auditing HAVA funds. As part of these duties, the EAC promulgates clearinghouse resources regarding accessible voting, including how to calculate how many accessible voting machines should be at a given polling place, best practices for accessible communications around elections, and checklists that election officials can use to evaluate the accessibility of the polling places that they run. It is unclear how this move will affect the midterm elections, if at all. ACB will continue to monitor the situation and provide updates as they occur. A news article on the move can be found at https://www.npr.org/2026/07/09/nx-s1-588790/Trump-election-assistance-commission. Posted July 15th on ACB.org, Older Americans Act Reauthorization Act passed the Senate. Exciting news, the Older Americans Act Reauthorization Act of 2025 was passed by unanimous consent in the Senate. The bipartisan bill now goes to the House of Representatives. The Older Americans Act was first passed in 1965 to provide necessary services for Americans age 60 and older. These services include programs to prevent elder abuse, aging and disability resource centers, and funding for home delivery of meals. While ACB recognizes that this bill has much room for improvement regarding the provision of blindness services, the programs in the bill are important, and ACB is happy to see movement on the bill after more than a year had passed since its introduction. You can learn more about the Older Americans Act Reauthorization Act of 2025 at https://www.congress.gov/bill/119th-congress/senate-bill/2120. And in ACB convention news, the American Council of the Blind to distribute Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses to blind veterans in St. Louis on July 27th. Posted July 15th by Scott Thornhill, Executive Director. Call 202-467-5081 or email sthornhill@acb.org. Or the website is https://www.acb.org/glasses. The American Council of the Blind to distribute Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses to blind veterans in St. Louis on July 27th. Dateline Alexandria, Virginia. The American Council of the Blind is proud to partner with Meta and the Blinded Veterans Association, BVA, to distribute Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses to eligible veterans who are blind during the upcoming 2026 ACB Conference and Convention in St. Louis. The distribution will take place on Monday, July 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. Central Time at the Hyatt St. Louis at the Arch in downtown St. Louis. Eligible veterans can receive Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses at no cost while supplies last, and a complimentary day pass to the ACB convention for July 27th. The initiative is part of Meta's commitment to donate Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses to 130,000 blinded veterans worldwide, expanding access to technology that can support greater independence, access to information, and everyday tasks. As a distribution partner, ACB will also provide access to training resources for veterans receiving Meta glasses. Supporting veterans who are blind or have low vision has long been an important part of ACB's mission, said ACB Executive Director Scott Thornhill. We are honored to partner with Meta and BVA to help connect veterans with innovative technology that can make a meaningful difference in their daily lives. Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses combine a lightweight hands-free design with built-in artificial intelligence to help users complete everyday tasks more independently. Wearers can ask the glasses to describe their surroundings, read printed text, identify objects, and capture photos or videos. To receive a pair of Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses at the July 27th distribution event, individuals must provide proof of military service, acknowledge legal blindness, and own a compatible smartphone. A day pass to the ACB conference and convention with access to the exhibit hall will be available for recipients. For more details about the Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses distribution, visit https://www.acb.org/glasses. About the American Council of the Blind. The American Council of the Blind is a national member-driven consumer organization representing Americans who are blind or have low vision. With 65 affiliates, ACB strives to increase independent security, equality of opportunity, and to improve the quality of life for all people who are blind or have low vision. For more information, visit https://www.acb.org. From NFB.org, 2026 resolutions. The following resolutions were passed during the National Convention on Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. Quick links. Choose a link below to navigate to the respective resolution section. Resolution 2026-01, regarding an immediate motion to dismiss Texas v. Kennedy. Resolution 2026-02, regarding supporting modernization of the Ability One program and reform of the direct labor ratio. Number 3, Resolution 2026-03, regarding ongoing Facebook accessibility defects. Resolution 2026-04, regarding the accessibility of delivery robots. Resolution 2026-05, regarding the collaboration and training in the education and rehabilitation of blind individuals. Resolution 2026-06, regarding the United States Department of Justice memorandum pertaining to the Olmstead decision. Resolution 2026-07, regarding ableism and health and human services access as public health infrastructure. Resolution 2026-08, regarding HCAPTCHA accessibility cookies. Resolution 2026-09, regarding the inaccessibility of automated and AI-powered pre-employment screening platforms. Resolution 2026-10, regarding deficiencies with Microsoft's new Outlook software. Resolution 2026-11, regarding accessible pedestrian signals. Resolution 2026-12, regarding the realignment of special education services, rehabilitation programs, and civil rights enforcement within the federal government. Resolution 2026-13, regarding enforcement of digital accessibility under Title I of the ADA. Resolution 2026-14, regarding the unjustified delay of Americans with Disabilities Act Title II Digital Accessibility Regulation. Resolution 2026-15, regarding the support for the Global Declaration on Braille Literacy in Education. Resolution 2026-16, regarding the accessibility of artificial intelligence tools for software creation and the code they produce. There are full transcripts of those resolutions following the hot links. From fightingblindness.org, taking the stage for Stargardt. As Miss Northern Lights Teen 2026, Hava Fleissner, that's HAVAHFLEISNER, is no stranger to the spotlight. But long before she ever stepped onto a stage, she was navigating something far more uncertain, losing her vision. At 8 years old, small, confusing moments began to add up. She couldn't see the board at school, and reading became harder, but glasses didn't help. What started as a routine eye exam soon turned into something far more complex. It was by a total fluke that we even went in, her mom, Tracy, recalls, but she could only see the big E. That was it. As appointments continued, answers remained elusive. Doctors adjusted prescriptions and searched for explanations, but subtle signs kept surfacing. Holding papers inches from her face, missing a basketball pass, and falling behind in reading. The school even thought she might have a learning disability, says Tracy. That's when I knew something wasn't right. The turning point came when imaging of Hava's retina revealed something deeper, leading to a specialist and, at just 9 years old, a diagnosis of Stargardt disease. All I remember the doctor saying is, "You'll never be able to drive," says Hava, and that I was legally blind. I didn't even know what that meant. For Tracy, the moment was equally overwhelming. I had no idea what Stargardt disease even was, so I started Googling it in the exam room, says Tracy, and I saw leading to blindness and my stomach just dropped. But Hava's diagnosis wasn't hers alone. Because Stargardt disease is inherited, her siblings soon began their own diagnostic journeys. Not long after, her brother Cruz, now 16, and her younger sister Clara, 14, were diagnosed as well. For siblings Hava, 17, Cruz, and Clara, it became something they would navigate not alone, but together. Over time, what began as uncertainty evolved into a bond that few others can fully understand. "We can joke about it," says Hava. "Things other people don't get, we all do. I would say we're very, very close compared to other families, and that's something I'm really grateful for." Yet amid uncertainty, something else took root within their family. Resilience. "We're a family that doesn't accept no," says Tracy. "We fight. We figure it out." Still, acceptance didn't happen overnight, especially for Hava. For years, she pushed her diagnosis aside, not fully understanding how it would shape her future. It wasn't until she was 15, sitting at lunch while friends talked about getting their driver's permits, that reality hit. "That was the moment," says Hava, "I realized my life was going to look different." What followed was a difficult period marked by isolation and frustration. "I shut down," recalls Hava. "I was ashamed. I didn't want to talk about my vision loss. I'd rather fail a class than ask for help." Watching her children all struggle with their Stargardt disease was incredibly hard for Tracy. "They would come home in tears," says Tracy. "It was overwhelming for all of us, but we don't quit, and I had to do something." Determined to help Hava reconnect with herself, Tracy encouraged her to try something new, even if it meant stepping far outside her comfort zone. They started with her school's POM team, but it wasn't the right fit. "I hated every second of it," Hava admits. "I couldn't keep up, and I just felt more defeated." So when she wanted to quit, Tracy offered another option, pageants. And at first, Hava resisted. "I remember thinking, I'll talk about anything except my eyes," says Hava. But pageantry introduced her to something unexpected, a platform. In each competition, contestants choose a cause or story to advocate for over the course of the year. With her coach's encouragement, Hava began to reconsider her own. Instead of avoiding her vision loss, she started to see it as something she could speak out about, and something that might help others feel less alone. That shift led to the creation of her platform, Through Her Eyes, Living Life Legally Blind. When Hava stepped onto the stage for the first time, something's changed. "I felt loved. I didn't feel embarrassed," she says. She went on to win her first pageant, USOA Teen Wisconsin. And soon after, on her 16th birthday weekend, she captured a national title. In a moment that could have been defined by what she was missing, a driver's license, Hava found something far more meaningful. "I came home with a crown and a sash," says Hava, "and confidence." Pageantry became more than a competition. It became a community and a turning point. For the first time, Hava found a space where she felt fully seen and supported. "I never really had a group of girlfriends," shares Hava, "but through pageants, I found that." It also gave her the courage to speak openly about her vision loss. During an onstage question, she said something out loud for the first time. "Competing in pageants is my driver's license." That moment marked a profound shift, not just in how others saw her, but in how she saw herself. That confidence began to carry into other parts of her life, too. In her senior year, Hava stepped onto a different kind of stage, her school musical, Grease. It was her first time participating in theater, and she landed the role of Marty, a character completely outside her comfort zone. "I was so nervous," says Hava, "but my director and cast were amazing. They recorded my lines for me, worked with me one-on-one, so I never felt left out. For Hava, it wasn't just about the performance, it was about belonging. I finally felt like I had a friend group at school, says Hava. That's something I hadn't really experienced before. Today, Hava uses her voice to connect with others across the country, especially young people navigating vision loss. Through social media, speaking engagements, and her growing platform, she's helping others feel less alone. I've had girls reach out saying they want to compete because of me, says Hava, or just to share that they're also legally blind. That means everything to me. Her impact extends beyond the stage. Hava is also preparing to publish a children's book inspired by her earlier experiences with vision loss, designed to help kids better understand what it means to see differently and to ensure more stories are accessible to the low-vision community. At the heart of it all is a message she wishes she had heard when she was first diagnosed. Being diagnosed with Stargardt is hard at first, and it's okay to be in a dark place, says Hava, but don't stay there. It's not something to be ashamed of. You can't control it. Living with Stargardt has shaped every part of Hava's journey, but it doesn't define her limits. Instead, it's become the very thing that fuels her voice. My goal is to be someone that other kids can look up to, says Hava, so they can think, if she can do it, I can do it. And every time she steps onto a stage, whether in a pageant, a theater production, or a room full of people hearing her story for the first time, she's doing exactly that. Here's an update from fightingblindness.org about the Belite Bio submission of a new drug application to the FDA for its Stargardt treatment. I read about that briefly last week. Belite Bio recently filed a new drug application with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for its Tinlarebant, T-I-N-L-A-R-E-B-A-N-T. It's oral drug to treat Stargardt disease, making it the first Stargardt treatment to make it this far in the FDA approval process. There are currently no treatments for Stargardt disease, a genetic eye disorder often diagnosed in childhood that causes central vision loss. Stargardt is typically caused by two mutations in the ABCA4 gene, which cause toxic byproducts from the processing of vitamin A to build up and damage the retina, causing vision loss. Tinlarebant works by lowering levels of a protein that carries vitamin A from the liver to the eye, reducing buildup of vitamin A-based toxins in the eye. It is administered as a once-daily oral pill. Tinlarebant has previously received Fast Track and Breakthrough Therapy designations from the FDA. This means that after reviewing the new drug application, FDA can prioritize Tinlarebant's review and could approve it for marketing within 6 months instead of the customary 10 months. The FDA application submission follows successful results from the drug's Phase 3 clinical trial reported in December 2025. Tinlarebant slowed down the growth of lesion areas by 36%. Compared to patients who received a placebo. Belite Bio used data from the Foundation's natural history study of patients with Stargardt disease to inform their clinical trial design. ProgStar, the largest ever natural history study of patients with Stargardt disease, followed 259 patients for 2 years, collecting imaging and medical record data to help clinicians and researchers understand how the disease progresses. The ProgStar study also created a database of Stargardt patients for future clinical trials, including 365 patients in 10 international clinical centers. Belite Bio is also currently conducting other clinical trials for Tinlarebant in Stargardt patients in the U.S., U.K., and Japan. Because Stargardt disease is sometimes called early-onset macular degeneration, the treatment could also have applications in patients with an advanced form of dry, age-related macular degeneration called geographic atrophy. A Phase 3 clinical trial for using Tinlarebant to treat geographic atrophy is ongoing. Tinlarebant is one of several potential treatments designed for patients with an ABCA4-associated Stargardt diagnosis. See the Foundation's clinical trial pipeline for the latest on treatments making their way through clinical trials. Last week, I ran out of time reading the details of the Kirchner and Gund Award honorees on the AFB.org website. I will continue that article below. I read about Dr. Schles, S-C-H-L-E-S, and her PhD. Now I'm going to talk about Ms. Marissa Miara, M-I-A-R-A. Currently serves as the Director of Student Services at Marshall B. Ketchum University in Anaheim, California. A graduate of the third cohort of AFB's Blind Leaders Development Program, Ms. Miara has since earned additional certifications in mental health and wellness. Her work as the Director of Student Services at Ketchum University exemplifies the qualities she herself developed as a member of AFB's Blind Leaders Development Program. Ms. Miara, who lost her sight shortly after the birth of her first son in her 30s, joined the Blind Leaders Development Program to reclaim her confidence and voice. She now fosters these same qualities each day while working with students at Ketchum University. Named in honor of Laura Glund, that's L-L-U-R-A-G-U-N-D, the wife of philanthropist Gordon Glund, this award goes to an outstanding individual who has participated in AFB's programs and contributed back to the community. The Laura Glund Leadership Award recognizes participants in AFB's programs who demonstrate the potential to make long-lasting contributions to a more accessible and inclusive world. For more information on AFB's programs, visit www.afb.org/internships. Join AFB in celebrating these outstanding leaders at a special awards reception on the evening of October 26th in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. For more details, visit www.afb.org/summit. Posted by Odetta Kapoor, K-A-P-O-O-R, on Assistive Technology Community for the Blind and Visually Impaired Facebook group. Are you a visually impaired student finding data interpretation challenging in competitive exams? Listen to this video to see how our audio-described lessons make charts and graphs fully accessible for you. That's http://youtube.com/watch/query-v=capital-A-capital-W-1-T-5-capital-Y-H-capital-J-3-6-capital-I-ampersand-S-I=R-X-A-capital-G-capital-W-1-capital-T-4-9-M-capital-B-capital-A-U-7-C-T. We are launching a 30-day crash course for upcoming IBPS and SBI clerical exams, covering data interpretation, puzzles, seating arrangement, number series, simplification, approximation, inequalities, and quadratic equations, all in an accessible format. Our new batch starts on the 20th of July. If you are interested, please contact us before the batch begins to secure your spot. Also, students who join through the Smart Step Academy app will get an exclusive discount offer. You can access all our free mock tests on the app as well. https://play.google.com/store/apps/details query-id=com.vishav.smartstep. For any questions, contact us, 798-826-8080. And that's it for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next week on Doris Hyde Reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.